What's up, everyone? I am Michelle Brundage, and welcome to 5 After 3. This is Michelle Brundage, your official host of 5 After 3, the podcast. The podcast that's meant to motivate, encourage, and inspire you to your next best level of success. We are back today. If this is your first time joining us, please note that you are appreciated. Please make sure to share. The episodes are meant to be kind of short and sweet, but today we have a special guest, so it may go a little longer than normal, but typically they are short and sweet and to the point. If you have been here before and you keep coming back week after week, thank you so much for being here. So you know how it goes. When we have guests on the show, they always drop gems, and today is not going to be any different. Today we have Akite. Did I pronounce that correct?
Yes, Akite.
Awesome. Why don't you introduce yourself to the world? Tell everybody who you are, what you do, all that good stuff.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Michelle, so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this literally all week to be able to just come and chat with you about this. And I'm really hoping I can bring some value to your listeners this evening. My name is Akite, and I am the CEO and founder of Akite Eyang Digital Agency. It's a web design agency. And I empower female founders of service-based companies to attract and convert their ideal paying clients with a website that is both wow yet seeped in strategy. I'm a mommy as well, and I also actually have a 9-to-5 as well as my side business. So I'm super intentional about, I don't want to jump into the topic too quickly, but super intentional about, you know, working smarter as opposed to harder. And so that way you can be your full self in all the many hats that you wear. And yeah, just can't wait to get into the whole gist of this, of today.
I love it. And you know what? I get it. Because, you know, we were talking about the other week when we were prepping for this podcast, we were talking about how as moms, as business owners, as candidates in corporate America, so to speak, you know, we have to be, in a sense, always on the go.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. We sometimes lose ourselves in the process from day to day. So in your words, what is the difference between productive and busy, right? Because we can always be on the go.
We can always be in
the grocery store, you know, and we're picking up a prescription and we're doing this and we're doing that. What is the difference between, in your words, between productive and busy, or do you feel as if there's a difference?
I definitely think that there is a difference. I think it's so easy to be busy with all the things, to be constantly doing stuff, constantly running around. And somehow we pat ourselves on the back we almost take it as a badge, like how busy we are and how exhausted we are, because that seems to be a sign of, you know, we're a super mom or a super woman. And actually, it might not always that we've been being productive. And the way I look at it is that you can be busy doing things, but then if you sit down at the end of the day and you look at your to-do list, have you actually completed goals? Have you actually completed stuff that is you know, working towards a bigger vision? You know, I could have been busy, for example, doing admin, replying emails, doing invoices, whatever that the case may be. And while that is good to an extent, is that really making a difference in my business, for example? Or could I have been doing things that would have actually moved the needle, moved the bottom line? So in my head, if you're thinking about frantic work, like, you know, how when you're busy, you're just moving frantically versus focused work, where I might only have done 3 things that day, but I've done the most important 3 things for that day. I think about it as, if you're being busy, you might be working hard, but are you working smart? Actually, productivity is all about going, okay, right, I might have 10 things that I could be doing today, but what am I going to focus on that's actually going to bring me the results, actually going to, you know, tick towards my goals? You know, because you're never going to get to the end of the day and think, right, that's it, I've got every single thing done. There's always going to be more to do, right? And it's almost like the more busy you are, there's more things that will come into your calendar, into your life, right? So you're never going to like completely finish every single thing and then have nothing to do. So really it's about focusing on what's the most important thing to get done that day or that week. And that's how I would define whether I've been productive versus just being busy with all the things.
Versus just being busy. I love that. Now, for most of my listeners, they kind of know who I am and what I do. But for those that don't, I am a project manager for CEOs, visionaries, small businesses, managing their back end projects to help them reach a specific level of revenue, right? Mm-hmm. So, or to generate additional income or another stream of income, right? So when you say goals, it's funny because I just made a post on today on Instagram that talks about my first initial steps in my whole project planning. And it's almost the same as just on your everyday thing in being productive versus busy. And the first thing is goals, is writing out their goals. Now, I could be busy at the mall buying shoes, because that's what I like.
I love buying shoes. Right?
Or online buying shoes, right? I could be busy doing all of those things, but has it helped my business? Has it helped me reach my next best level of success? Because truthfully, I wear shoes I wore last week. And
this is true.
Right?
This is true. I mean, as pretty as they are, like, did you really need that pair of shoes,
I really need them. They really helped me meet my goals. And I agree with you. I do think that there is a difference between being productive and being busy. I think busy just, you know, helps you pass time.
And definitely.
And being productive helps you reach your goals.
Exactly. Exactly. You
know, and whatever that next level is.
I actually had a post just to that point on my Instagram earlier this week. And I said, and this might not be a popular opinion, but spending 3 hours on Canva does not equal being productive. Because if you're not a skilled graphic designer, you can sit there and play with 100 templates. And in your mind think, yeah, I was doing work. I created 5 Instagram posts. And I say to my clients, well, that's great. But if it took you 5 hours to create those 5 posts, right? Let's say you're a coach and you charge your client, I mean, I'm based in London, right? You charge your client £300 an hour. It took you 5 hours to create 5 posts. If you were coaching with those hours, you could have made 5 times 300, £1,500 for those 3 hours. Is the 5 posts you created for Instagram going to bring you that amount of business? And if the answer is no, then no, honey, you haven't been productive. You've just been busy in Canva. And Canva can be as great a tool as Canva is. You can sit on there all day playing with colors and shading and look at this tool and look at that tool. Has that actually brought you business? Probably not, unless you're a graphic designer and you use that time to create 20 different, you know, you know what I'm saying. So it's about really being intentional with our time. I feel like as moms, wives, juggling so many hats, you have so limited time as it is. You have to be super intentional in order to be productive.
Yes. Intentional is actually my word for the year.
Nice.
Posted it on January, I think, or something. It's intentional because I feel like at some point in time, you have to make that demand on yourself that I'm going to be intentional. And let's just keep it real. If you're on Canva for 5 hours and you still haven't created anything, it might be time for you to delegate that out, right?
Thank you. Time for you to get somebody else to do that for you. Right. It is not your bag, and it's okay if it's not your bag.
It's not my ministry. So I'm not going to be on it for five hours.
Definitely.
So I totally get that. So if you guys are just joining on, I definitely want you to start it from the beginning, right? But today we are talking about just what the topic says, the best productivity tips. And we have our special guest, Akati. And Akati, where are you? Because I hear the mum. And I hear, I mean, I know where you are, but did you share that with the audience?
I am based in London. I would say sunny London, but it's not sunny at the moment. I am based in dreary London, UK. I love it here. I've been here for years. And even though we complain about the weather, I'm definitely a London girl for sure.
Still there, right? Still loving it. Still loving it. Well, I am just glad that you're here. And I know how we just jumped right into it. And you know what? That's kind of like how I like the podcast to be. Mm-hmm. Let's just have a conversation about it. So as a mom, as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. as a 9-to-5, what holds the most value in terms of being, in terms of feeling complete? Right? Because mm-hmm. I talk about that because when we're busy,
mm-hmm, busy, mm-hmm, yeah. Right?
And when we are productive, we tend to lose ourselves in other things that mean nothing to us.
Mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
as a mom, that becomes a little bit different, right? Because we're so focused on being the best mom ever
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
other things just don't matter.
Yep.
Operating or branding my small business or growing my small business doesn't matter because being a mom is first, right?
Yep.
As a 9-to-5er, we get lost in the going ons in corporate America.
Definitely.
And because that gives you a steady paycheck, mm-hmm. my small business or growing my small business doesn't mean anything because my small business is
takes a backseat. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a backseat, right? And as an entrepreneur, because I'm making this money at my corporate job and because I'm raising my children,
mm-hmm.
growing my small business doesn't really help me at this moment, right?
Yeah.
And we start to feel lost. We start to feel overwhelmed. And I know because I went through that, mm-hmm. right? So what do you think holds the most value in feeling complete?
For me, I would say it's being a mom. Of all the hats that I wear, that's the hat that I enjoy the most. That's the hat that I find the most fulfilling. And that's the hat where I feel the most responsibility, as I'm sure you would agree. In my 9-to-5, I can be replaced. You know, COVID has just hit, right? People get replaced all the time. Like if this company decides that they want to, you know, improve the bottom line, staff is the first thing to go, right? So you are not replaced. You are irreplaceable. You are not irreplaceable. I beg your pardon. The other way around. Even in your business, while that's great and all of that, you know, it doesn't ever replace like being a mom. And I think about all of these things in that I'm creating something, right? I'm creating an experience for my clients. I'm creating a product for my 9-to-5. And I'm, so to speak, creating or forming these two beautiful girls that I have who are going to grow up and have their own family and have their own lives. And that role, that hat, if I don't do it, nobody else can, right? Every other role that I have in my life, somebody else can replace me. Let's be honest about it. Even as an entrepreneur, there's so many people out there who are web designers. I'm not I'm not like a unicorn in that regard, but I'm the only mom that my girls have, right? So that has to be the most important thing, which is why this whole question about productivity then becomes even more important, because you're thinking, I'm doing all of these things so that I can have the financial freedom, so that we can have the flexibility as a family, so that I can show my girls that it is possible to be this, you know, mom boss and to be this super amazing woman balancing all of these mm-hmm. things, but not at the detriment of me spending quality time with them, till in their really formative years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would be the hat that I find the most fulfilling. That would be the hat that I enjoy the most of all my many roles. And then that's why I had to be really intentional. And again, like I was mm-hmm. saying earlier, about the time I spend on those other areas of my life, so that I am always still able to give my best to my girls, so that I'm not coming home and then being so tired and so cranky that I can't be bothered to read her bedtime story because I'm stressed, right? Because then she's not getting the best of me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, it's funny that you say, well, no, it's not funny that you say that, but this question I've asked before, not necessarily on this podcast, but in mm-hmm. Circles of parents and non-parents.
Yeah.
Because you would get the entrepreneur who doesn't have any kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten a different answer. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
Right. And believe it or not, there was a mom that told me that growing her small business made her feel complete, more complete. And it was kind of sad because I was like, because I just don't know what I would do without my daughter, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So from your standpoint, I get it. And I think that, I mean, from based on your answer, but there are women who don't even feel complete as a mom.
Mm. I think it's tricky. I wonder if it comes from a place of sometimes the role of being a mother can be so all-encompassing where your needs then become secondary to your kids' needs or to your partner's needs. And then maybe sometimes there's a space in your business where, and I kind of feel that way sometimes, a space where in your business you feel like, this is a thing for me, this is the thing that I'm doing, you know, I can put my stamp on something. Yeah. But I think in the very same way, like the way you raise your children is you putting a stamp on them as well, right? In that sense, like you're influencing them to grow up to be who they are going to be. So yeah, that is interesting. I would definitely say that, while all the different roles give me fulfillment of some sort, like, you know, if I had to drop something, like if they said you could, of those three, you could only still be one, a mom or a 9-to-5er or an entrepreneur. You could only keep one out of the three. Like hands down, like no questions asked. I would keep being a mom.
Mommying it up, right? Yeah. We'll figure out the rest later.
Exactly.
Love it. So I always like to ask that, especially when I'm having a conversation with a woman who is, you know, wearing the different hats, right? Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't believe there's some who are growing a business with two jobs and kids, you know? On it alone. I mean, it actually happens. So I always like to kind of throw that in there because I like to hear the different sides of the different thought process of different individuals' minds, of their mind, their thought process, so to speak. So we're talking about the best productivity tips. So this one is a tricky question for you. What do you believe? What do you need other than a calendar?
Ooh. To stay productive? Other than a calendar. That's a tricky one because I really use my calendar. I have some other tools. I have some other tools up my sleeve. But I'd be lost without my calendar. Definitely I'd be lost without it. So much so that I'm very I'm not a fully digital native. I still like pen and paper. So I still like write things down in my journal as well as like have a digital calendar, but I'd be lost without it. I wouldn't know where I'm coming or where I'm going. I have all my meetings in there.
Listen, the digital calendar, is the best invention since the loaf of bread. Definitely. I don't know what we were doing before. Your brain like, what were we doing before? Maybe were we planners? Because I know people, we have used the planners, and the planners these days have gotten so fancy.
Oh, they have got so nice.
But some you can't even use, because it's not enough space, it's not enough lines. And I'm like, well, at some point we had to have used it and it worked. It's just like cell phones weren't out.
No, that's true. Back when I had
we were at the payphone,
Yeah, exactly. And we figured it out.
So you figure it out. So what are three tools that you use to consistently stay on track? And if the calendar is one of them, that's fine. I was just always interested, especially
to know what else. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no, of course. I have an app on my iPhone that I think comes default with the iPhone called Reminders. So I use that in par with my calendar, and I have reminders set up for things. So I have things in there that I kind of mark it in priority order, what's high, what's medium, what's low. And then I also put reminders against things. So like, for example, that client's coming soon page has to be done by Friday, and I have it notify me 2 days beforehand. So that way it's notified the day before, and then you're kind of scrambling to get that done. So I use the calendars and the reminders really kind of almost in sync, because even if you fail to look at the calendar for some weird reason, the reminder would pop up, right? And they would kind of remind you in priority order. The other tool that I love using, especially with my VA, is Trello. I'm sure people should be familiar with Trello, but it's a really cool sort of like project management organization board. I use my VA handles a lot of the content on my site. So we have like a list that is kind of like a brain dump list, all the different topic areas. We can tag them based on what content pillars they link to. And then she moves cards into different columns, whether she's got it in draft, whether it's ready for me to review when it gets published, all that kind of stuff. So as a visual visual guide is great if you're a visual kind of person, where you can then see and track, okay, these tasks are in progress, these tasks are done, these tasks haven't kind of been prioritized just yet. So that's another great tool for that. Yep. And I also use Slack. I don't know if you would consider it a productivity tool per se. It's more like a messaging tool. But mm-hmm. I think the way you can integrate Slack with other things works really well. So on my, I've got a two developers on my team. So we use Slack for like daily comms. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What's happening? Have you got any blockers? Can I help kind of move some products along? And because we can integrate Slack with mm-hmm. our Trello board, it makes it easy to kind of like, you know, flag something mm-hmm. and ping the particular card that we're working on. So all in all, that helps just keep things really slick and organized from that kind of back end operational type of thing. So that we're all on the same page. And I actually mm-hmm. also use Trello boards with my clients when we're working on their website projects. So it's very easy for them to kind of see what pages are in build, what pages are come to them for any feedback or whatever it is, when it moves into QA and testing, quality analysis, sorry, and testing, and when pages get signed off for being published. So I would say yes, the reminder app on my phone, in par with my calendar, Trello, and definitely kind of Slack for mm-hmm. team and operation sort of organization.
That's awesome. And Trello, believe it or not, they've been around for a while, but I think that they're finally just now in the last year or two, maybe getting the respect that they deserve.
Yes.
It is a really good tool. I actually like Trello. It mm-hmm. really is a good tool, but I think maybe since COVID, maybe like people yeah. have been forced to, you know, to find a different way, a different system.
Yeah.
You know, for those you guys don't know, but Akati and I met at Impact Weekend, which was hosted by Maya Elias. And we talked about systems.
Mm-hmm.
And systems, I think, are important. But some people are okay. And I'm only asking because I can only talk about what I experienced. Let me just say that.
Of
right?
course. Yeah.
There are some people who don't believe in systems, and those are the same people who are not making a consistent revenue.
Yeah
there's a correlation to
there
that.
Is a correlation there for sure.
Do you believe that?
I do believe that.
I totally believe it, but you know what, sometimes I'm afraid to inform them of that.
I reckon it comes from a place of, my husband says this thing where it's not exactly relevant, but he says anger comes from fear, where sometimes the way you react to something might seem really kind of, you know, over exaggerated, because it's a deep rooted fear. And in my experience, when people kind of have that reaction to something, it's because they might be scared. Yeah, it's defensive, mm-hmm. where they're thinking, I don't understand the tech. I don't know how to build a good system. I don't know how to put these things into place. So rather than admitting that, they just go, oh, well, I don't believe in having one, you know? So I think actually it comes from a place of maybe just being a bit intimidated or overwhelmed with it. And actually what I would say to those kind of people is that it really mm-hmm. isn't as hard as it seems. You know, like you were saying about Trello, you're right. product manager, so you would know there are much more advanced tools than Trello that we would use in our 9-to-5 in our corporate jobs. But Trello gives you the same functionality for a much simpler yes. interface, and it still helps you run your business like you're, you know, one of the big FTSE companies, even if you're a one-woman band, right? And mm-hmm. it's so important to get systems in place yes. because unless you're building a business that you can't extract yourself out of, you can't ever have a day off. You can't ever have holiday. Mm. If your child falls ill, you can't ever have time to take care of them. Then you are going to struggle to scale, for one right. thing. Even if you were able to get consistent revenue, right, as by yourself, you will struggle to scale. You will struggle to ever have time off. And after a while, you will start to resent your own business, because if you wrap everything around you where you have to press every button, you have to send that email, you have to send that invoice, then how do you get somebody to help you? How do you expand? How do you grow? So even as a one-woman band, even while it might seem overkill, when you're thinking, oh, it's just me, I can do that. I don't need to have a whole system in place just to send an invoice. But think about how much time you save if you did have systems in place, right? I'm a big believer of automation. I use Zapier like it's my best friend, right? If things can be pinging up and zapping up in the background without me having to touch it, even better. I can be here watching Fresh Prince.
Let's do it. Right.
I can be watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and my clients are getting served and I'm running like I'm a 50 woman business. So why wouldn't you? And if you're worried about it, like there's so many tools out there that are so simple to use. There's so many experts out there. I would say don't be afraid. Don't let tech feel like this thing where unless you did like computer science in school, that is inaccessible to you. It is so accessible. Ask the right questions, get support.
And don't be afraid to learn either.
Exactly.
And don't be afraid to teach yourself, because it's too many YouTube videos that's out there these days. But at the same time, don't spend 5 hours on it.
Get you an expert.
Don't spend 5 hours on it. Yeah. And I think once a business owner gets into that mindset of the struggling of resenting it, can't take a day off, it defeats the purpose of being a business owner.
Yeah.
Like being an entrepreneur, I feel like that's one of the perks after you've built
exactly this business
to a certain extent. Right. Now, funny thing you mentioned, you said, that, you know, hey, I'm, you know, if you're a one woman band, right? Because I'm a one woman band, but you know, you wouldn't know that by the systems that we have in place. By the systems we have in place. So what do you say to the one woman band who is struggling to get systems in place to move forward, to scale, as you said? You know, what do you say? What are 5 tips that you can give to that one woman band or to that business owner who is in that struggling mindset and who's juggling a 9-to-5? And just so you know, that's how we always end the 5 After 3 podcast. We always drop gems and we talk openly, especially have a guest, we always want to end it with 5 tips that our listeners can, when they click off from this podcast, that they can take with them to use, right?
Definitely.
So why don't you just take over and just give us 5 tips on how to stay productive while juggling a 9-to-5, being a business owner, etc.
All the things. What would be my 5 tips? I would say the first thing that I would do is that I would try and see if I can write down everything that happens in my business, almost like a bit of a mind map. So in my case, I'm a web designer. So a client comes to me, they book a discovery call, I chat to them, a proposal goes out. We then hopefully agree to work together. They fill out the booking form, they pay a deposit, blah, 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 blah. You write it all out. In that whole end-to-end process, whatever your typical process is, to your point about if we're building businesses that we don't love doing, what is the point? Just focus on your 9-to-5, right? So I look at that question and I think, okay, what in this process do I not enjoy doing all that well? Or like we're talking about the Canva thing, is useful to do, but is a drain on my time and somebody else could do this faster. If I could figure out, okay, what don't I like doing very much? What somebody else could maybe do a little bit better or faster. Is it a process that is repeatable enough to automate it? So a good automation is something that is around a process that actually happens the exact same way like clockwork. There's no point in having manual intervention, right? So in my case, somebody gets a proposal, they're happy to go ahead, they fill out a booking form and an invoice gets generated automatically, right? If you have the same prices for all of your packages, why make it that you have to email people an invoice every single time when you can just automate that process, right? Obviously, don't go crazy with automations because there are, how would I describe it, touch points in your business where you want to actually deliver that human, you know, experience. In our day and age, there's so many chatbots and whatever it is that it can become very dehumanized. So find the balance between automating work.
Even when I'm calling customer service,
I just want to speak to a human being that maybe isn't in the Philippines either.
Right.
So find, yeah, exactly. So find that balance between automating for taking less time from your day to day, but not making your system so, you know, machine, you know, making it still have human touch points. Yeah. Once you can automate some bits, that then comes to become like your bucket one. Then are there anything else that maybe you can't automate, but you could delegate? Could you afford to hire a VA? Could you afford to hire a graphic designer? And it might be that if you're a solopreneur, you're just starting out, you might not have a huge budget. Can you do a trade barter with someone, for example? So have you got like a business bestie or an accountability partner, maybe in a mastermind group or an accelerator? It's a group where you go, hey, I'm a web designer, but I'm really rubbish at writing copy. Can we swap skills where I build you a sales page and you write copy for my website? Something along those lines, right? So that you're able to delegate either by getting a freelancer or a contractor or trading skills if you're keeping an eye on the pennies, right? And then with what's left, that kind of third bucket, how do you then keep really productive with that? So I would always start my week looking at, say, the five most important things to do, where to your point, by the start of the conversation, if I can only achieve one thing per day, but they're the five most important things that week, then I've still had a productive week, right? And if you're items or your tasks Absolutely. Are prioritized by, like, you know, high, medium, low, whenever you then think, right, what can I do to, you know, what I get started on this Wednesday, for example, you focus on the high stuff before the medium, before the low. And here's a really good point as well, and this I do this sometimes, where I'm procrastinating the high stuff because they're the big meaty, needs a lot of brain power, and then I do lots of low stuff. I've still been productive, yes, but have I been really productive? So if you prioritize and you can focus on the things that are actually going to really move the needle. So that's three, I guess.
Absolutely. And I agree with you because when you get, I think when you wait till the last minute, you start operating under stress. And I think you can win by operating under stress, but how many times do you want to continue to operate under stress by waiting for the last minute? Like, it gets kind of played out. Like, the first time it's like, okay, I made it.
Yeah.
Then if you're doing the same thing the next week and the next week and the next week,
you just get burnout.
Yeah, right.
You just get burnout. So, so where did I get to? So automate where you can, delegate where you can, even if it is just skill swapping. And then with what's left on your plate, prioritize them. So you are working on the most important thing first. A fourth one I would say is try and avoid distractions. Now, I'm always I'm always guilty of this, where I think, well, I'm designing a page, I don't really need my brain to work sometimes, so I can have the TV on in the background and watch a bit of Netflix while I design that page. But if I'm really honest with myself, I'm slower than if I just put the TV off, put the phone away, no more Clubhouse notifications, and I just focus on it for an hour. So as much as you might feel that you can multitask, which is what I think I can multitask quite well, really I'm more productive if I just focus on something for an hour, then have a break, as opposed to having 3 hours half doing the work and half watching Netflix, you know?
Right, exactly.
So I would say that. And the fifth thing for being productive, which even I need to try and do more of, is exercise, which you might think, whoa, where did that come from? But when I do manage to go out and get exercise, get a bit of fresh air, I come back feeling so like, energized, and my mind is clear and exactly refreshed. And actually, say with COVID in the UK, we're in our like fifth national lockdown where nobody can go anywhere, and the days where I don't make the effort to go out for that my daily exercise, I find that I'm really sluggish, I'm not moving very quickly, I'm staring at the same page for 5 hours or not 5 hours for 10 minutes, whatever it is. But if I can just get off my bum and go for a walk, it makes so much difference to how I move the rest of the day. I just feel lighter in my feet. I feel refreshed. So even though it might feel counterproductive, I've got all this to do, Akaita. Why would I get up and go out for a half an hour walk? When you come back, the stuff just flies out the window because you're then able to just move quicker because you're so much more refreshed. You've got a bit of fresh air. You know, while I'm walking, I'm listening to a podcast or I'm listening to some worship music. You just feel And then you can start again. Yeah?
Yeah.
So I would say that last one, it makes a difference. It feels like it's counterintuitive, but it does make a difference.
Now, you threw me for a loop with the exercise because I have really been struggling with this COVID. This COVID weight is so stubborn too, but it's stubborn because I'm sitting at a desk for pretty much for the majority of the day. And if I'm not exercising, you know, so I just started actually doing walks and doing fitness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm snacking so much more.
You see, I have Sour Patch, you know, right? Thank gosh, these are only 110 calories and I can eat at least 12 of them. But after three, I'm done because of the sour taste. But thank you so much for being here. Yeah. I think that this was amazing. As I told you on our prep call, you know, I love for my audience to have a different perspective on different topics. And this is a topic I think that we all can not only relate to, but it's good to see like, okay, what is she doing over there in London? But it's the same process. It's the same struggle. We all you know, as women, as women trying to run businesses, as moms trying to raise our kids, as wives trying to make sure our husbands are good and that we're, you know, that tank is filled daily. So it's the same struggle. It doesn't matter where we are. But the great thing to know is that we're in it together. And if there's something that I know that I can share, I want to be able to do that.
Exactly.
And I want to bring in other people who want to share as well. So, so thank you so much for being here. I know it's late there for you and I definitely don't want to keep you on any longer.
Thank you for having me.
But thank you again. Please tell our listeners where they can find you on social media, how to keep in touch with you, website, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation. If you wanted to kind of get in touch with me or see what else I'm up to, I am on Instagram and my handle is @Ekaete_Inyang. So it's EKAETE_INYANG. And my website is the same. It's EkaeteInyang.com. You can find out what I'm up to. Actually, because we're talking about productivity tips today, I thought this is my fine value in grabbing my automation freebie. So I have a freebie where I talk about how starting a business is hard and it's a lot of work when you're a one-woman band as well, keeping on top of your finances, cash flow, legal, branding, website, marketing, social media. The list goes on and on and on. And time is obviously your most precious commodity, and as a CEO you have to guard that time with your life if you can. So I have this guide where I talk about 5 easy things that you can automate in your business to save time, maximize efficiency, and maximize profits ultimately. And you can grab that by going to ekaeteinyang.com/automate.
Awesome. And guys, I will make sure to put that information in the description box as well, to make sure that you can have that free guide and that you can go and follow Ekaete as well, because she is amazing. So Ekaete, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And of course, you'll be back, right? You'll be back soon.
Yes. I cannot wait to be back again.
Yes. So
cannot wait to be back again.
That's right. We're stuck.
You can't get rid of me now.
Well, thank you so much. And guys, thank you so much for joining us. And I will see you next week at 5 After 3.